Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Duluth Rundown, a podcast focused on the local Twin Ports running scene. My name is Tony Stensland with Tony Stensland Coaching.
And I am Mike Ward with Duluth Timing and Events.
All right. And we are back with episode number 23 of the Duluth Rundown podcast. Mike, how you been?
Been really good. Spent a lot of time on the trail in the woods. Just got back from a camping trip, so yeah.
How many miles a week are you running right now?
Low, very low.
Yeah.
I'd say 15 to 20.
Okay. Where was your camping trip?
Well, I was actually lucky enough to be part of a Superior Hiking Trail Association training on what they call trail plumbing, so getting water off, people on the trail. So it was about kind of erosion and trail grade and cross slope and just kind of these water maneuvers, trail building maneuvers to get the water off. So
sweet.
That was Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. We learned about these tactics and then kind of put them into practice on the Bean and Bear Loop, Silver Bay. And I was camping all week at the Finland campground where the association for our group had a group campsite. So it's cool. It was fun. A lot of trail work, which I love. And yeah, it was great.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
For your camping, did you use your homemade stuff?
No, because it was the first time actually I've been car camping in a long time.
Yeah.
And so from the backpacker perspective, I know everything I need for like one day.
Really light.
And then car camping, like I was kind of stressed packing. It's like, what do I need? What I have my whole van to fill up. What should I put in there? And like, so I brought my big tent,
nice.
You know, more stuff than I needed really, but it was good.
Yeah, you gotta have a little, when you're car camping, you can afford to have some extra comforts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Take advantage of that, especially multi-nights.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I brought a lot of food, you know.
How long of days did you work on the trail?
They were from 8:30 to 4, so all day. All day trail work. It was hot.
That's why you're only running 15 miles a week, because that was hard work right there, what you were doing on the trails.
Yeah, that too. I've been walking a lot, gravel biking a lot, and paddle boarding a lot too.
So oh, nice.
Kind of spreading it all out. And yeah, I just don't have a good running program, and I feel like that's what I need to get into that kind of 30, 40, 50 miles and more, is I need that training program.
Yeah.
Or else I just kind of slack and run when I feel like it. And
yeah,
I've been running every other day, but just like no agenda really. So
one little motivational trick that I often recommend to people, and maybe you do this, I don't know, is have an actual like paper calendar on the wall and then put an X on the date that you run. And it's that simple, because then if you miss like a couple of days in a row or two or three days and you wanted to run and you see those blank spaces without the X, it's really motivating just visually to see that, like, oh boy, that's been 2 days. I thought it was only one day. It's been two or three days in a row.
Yeah,
I better go.
Right. Yeah. Right. My goal really is to just maintain a level of fitness where I can survive like a 20 mile long run on the trail.
Oh well, that's good fitness.
Yeah, just survive.
Yeah,
not do it fast or anything, just survive and not die. So I feel like I can do that 15, 20 miles a week.
Okay, when you paddleboard, where do you go?
All over. The St. Louis River, down by the Gary New Duluth area, is one of my favorites. Boulder Lake, Lake Superior.
Nice.
Yeah.
I asked because we're buying at least one, if not two, inflatables. And so when we get those, you and I will have to go paddleboard.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
Yeah. Have you been running much, keeping the miles up?
I've been running a decent amount, yeah. Trying to run pretty much every day. Nice. I'm on a little bit of a streak. I haven't ran yet today, so I need to get out for 8 miles later on today. But yeah, it's going pretty well.
Nice.
Yeah, things are good.
Good.
Last week was a recovery week for me, so I took it really easy. And now, as we're sitting here today, we're recording this on Monday, and my legs are really fresh. I can tell the recovery week worked really well. I think I did 45 miles last week. The week before that was 60.
Yeah.
So
wow.
So I feel bouncy so far today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm on a streak of recovery weeks. I think I have like 9 recovery weeks in a row now.
Oh, yeah. So your legs are bouncy for sure.
They're bouncy, which is kind of nice, you know. I never feel that beat down feeling. But on the flip side, that kind of beat down leg feeling, you know you're going to get in shape if you know, you're not getting injured. So two ways to look at it, I guess. But
yeah.
Well, should we get into some race results and upcoming races? We actually have something to talk about this week.
Yeah, let's get into the whole rundown portion of the show.
Okay. So the only race results, and this is not really a real race, but kind of real race, Beer Mile. And I only know one result from it. I know Kyle Sather won in 7 minutes, 27 seconds, which is a pretty fast time for Beer Mile, but still about 20 seconds off of his PR.
Mm.
So...
How many victories is that for Kyle now? Is that 3 or 4?
He's got a handful, yeah, for sure. So,
yeah.
Yeah, pretty impressive. Not my favorite event to participate in, but personally, but Kyle's really good at it.
When we talk niche sports, I think the Beer Mile definitely is in that niche sport realm.
Speed golf, Beer Mile,
speed
kind
golf,
of in that same
exactly.
category.
That's, yeah, that's probably more niche than Beer Mile. Since there's a world, well, I guess there is a world championship in speed golf as well, but I think there's a world championship in Beer Mile.
Oh, too. Funny. Yeah. And actually, for the first time in a long time, we have an upcoming race.
Nice.
And that's the Park Point 5-miler on mm-hmm. Thursday, July 16th, just this Thursday, a couple days from now as we record. And Grandma's Marathon puts on the Park Point 5-miler, and they've been able to make some, I'll say, drastic renovations to get the permits that they need and put on the event within the guidelines, the state guidelines and such. And I guess I don't have it in front of me, but it's essentially 3 micro races mm-hmm. within the same event. So there's a morning, a noon, and a night event.
Yep.
Park Point 5-miler essentially. And then within that, the max is 250 people for each micro race, so
yep.
to speak. And then within that, there's 25-person waves mm-hmm. every, and I forget the time increment. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I know that they do, those 3 sections are 5 hours long, 5:30 to 10:30, I think, a.m., mm-hmm. something like that, all the way up to, I believe, 8 p.m.
Yeah.
At night,
late,
I think,
yeah.
something like that. And then there's increments for the wave starts within those 3 segments,
right.
too. So a really good plan, very good comprehensive plan. My understanding is that when they brought their plan to the city was pretty impressed and said that's one of the better ones that they had seen.
Yeah.
And so, as you know, with grandmas, they're going to be detailed and they're going to be organized and they're going to have things really well thought out. And I'm sure they're going to pull it off just fine.
Right. So. And just the... infrastructure or the muscle kind of to make it happen,
right?
You know, which is great. And on the flip side, I think, you know, it's really challenging for some of these smaller races that's maybe just a volunteer group of people to put it on to match that sort of, I guess, professionalism. So
mm-hmm.
Either way, you know, it's really fun to grant to see that Grandma's Marathon is able to put it on. And I mean, we could talk for probably 20 minutes just on just the number of changes or alterations in terms of just pack a pickup and pre-race, post-race, blah, blah, blah. But
right.
They have all that information on the website online and such. And so I think you can still sign up. I plan on actually signing up myself, and
yep.
I haven't done it yet. And that's on my to-do list for today. So, yeah.
Nice. Well, I like the Park Point 5-miler. I know that's classically, that's, you know, it's hot. It seems like it's always hot for that mm-hmm. race. Maybe not the most scenic course, I guess, because mm-hmm. it's a simple out and back, but it's a fun course to run fast on. There's
yeah.
always great competition, so you're running with somebody and really kind of working hard and having a good time. Post-race is tremendous for that race, and mm-hmm. it's got a lot of history. It's been around for a long, long time. And,
yeah.
Yeah, that's just, to me, that's a cool one to have on the calendar every single year. So I'm glad they're able to kind of continue it through for 2020 in, you know, an alternate fashion.
Right, right. Yeah. We'll see what the, you know, the response is. I'm really curious to be down there, and I'm definitely going to be down there and, you know, try and social distance and everything. I think it's going to take the participation, I guess, in terms of just safety of every single participant, you know, to you know, not clump together in a group and high five and sweaty hugs and all that, you know, so.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. There's responsibility not only on the race directors, but on the participants themselves and, mm-hmm. and everybody to sort of be aware of all that stuff for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And the other kind of race, upcoming race news, we'll say, is the Grandma's Marathon and Gary Bjorklund Half Marathon. A virtual event mm-hmm. has been pretty much going on all summer, and the deadline to submit your results is somewhat coming up on Friday, July 31st. And so I've procrastinated till pretty much the last minute. And my joke is that I'm going to do it on July 31st, but maybe this week or next week. And running 15 miles a week doesn't give me much confidence, but I'm going to let it rip.
What day of the week is the 31st?
Friday.
It's a Friday. Okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, so. It's Friday.
Yeah. Nice.
And that's, I guess, all we got for races. You know, hopefully Park Point 5-miler is a trendsetter and we start seeing more of these upcoming, but August looks pretty scant, and I guess September, there's always a lot more races, and haven't really heard a lot of news on September and other fall races, so except maybe some larger ones, so I guess we'll keep reporting as we hear more.
Yeah, I think, you know, just regards to some of the fall stuff, I know, like, Twin Cities has been canceled, and the Ely Marathon has been canceled as well. As far as I know, Whistle Stop is still on, tentatively, and also Chicago, if anybody is planning on doing Chicago or had signed up for Chicago. Those two races are still on as we speak, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Cool. Do you want to jump into the trails report?
Let's go there.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, you've been on the trails a lot, and obviously you're spending a lot of time up on the shore on the SHT up there, mm-hmm. and I've been on some of the local Duluth trails, and the little rain that we had, and things were kind of closed for about a day, mm-hmm. about a 24-hour period or so, the rain really helped make them tacky now, and you know, for a while they were like too dry almost and dusty, and your legs would come back just covered in dust. Yeah. But right now they're really, really nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually, running some of the trails in Leicester in the last couple of Saturdays, Amity East, Amity West, Duluth Traverse, and they're really nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some of the Leicester travel trails, this time of the year is when you realize the overgrowth.
Yes.
And I know there have actually been some groups going out weed whipping, some of the NMTC mm-hmm. groups doing the Voyager course regardless of the race being canceled, and I can say just with the Hartley, Bagley, Chester area, definitely not an issue. And mm-hmm. Up north though, definitely there's some sections that are very overgrown, and you're gonna be touching plants pretty much every step, so that's I guess the one maybe downside, but otherwise, great summer conditions.
Last Saturday, I ran, when I got to the top of Leicester, then I ran down Amity West to the bottom, and that had been weed whipped. So it was really, really nice. And that's a trail that maybe doesn't get used as much anymore because of the Duluth Traverse that runs through there. So I was really happy to see, and I assume Amity East was probably the same way, but I was really happy to see Amity West weed whacked like that because it was sweet. So,
good.
Yeah. One thing that when the grasses are tall, as it seems to bring out more like creatures, more insects,
mm-hmm.
which is not fun.
Yeah.
Ticks and deer flies and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah. It's nice to have that corridor.
Yep. Exactly.
Wide corridor.
Yep. Oh. One thing I wanted to touch on, and I think probably a lot of our here on our trails report, and a lot of our listeners are aware of this story that happened last week. It must have been. Where the lady out in West Duluth was attacked. Really unfortunate situation. I really feel bad for her. We don't really quite know the full story, but really sounds like, you know, she asked a gentleman or said something to a gentleman about his dogs being off leash. He was riding his mountain bike with three dogs, and none of them were on the leash, which we've all seen multiple times, mm-hmm. whether people are riding or walking or running with their dogs off leash. And she said something and he attacked her, and you know, she's a 65-year-old lady and he's a 47-48-year-old, you know, Duluth firefighter, and just a really awful situation, and I just feel so bad for her. And really underscores a major problem, I think. And Mike and I, we've talked about this on our podcast before, like dogs off leash. And it's on the trails typically is where you're going to see it. Hartley's notorious for it along Old Hartley Road. But even Amity Creek Trail, I'm on that one quite a bit. And I always see dogs. I think that's just last Saturday. I must have seen probably 15 dogs with their people on my run, and one dog was on a leash, just one. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a real problem that Duluth has, and it needs to be addressed. It needs to get figured out.
Right.
So.
Well, now we see kind of a different result of that, and that is that, you know, people are very emotional about this issue, like. I know I'm emotional about dogs off the leash, and mm-hmm. my emotions include anger, frustration, you know, and maybe there's those same emotions with people who, you know, they know their dogs are friendly, right? And it doesn't really matter if your dog is the friendliest dog in the world. If it makes someone uncomfortable, it's not right, and that's the reason why the ordinances in place, I guess, right? So either way, two people, you know, who perhaps, and this is theoretical, not really addressing this particular issue, but you know, if two people feel very strongly mm-hmm. and emotional anger, you know, like, no, my dog can be off the leash because they're nice, no, it can't respect me, you know, and that could clash. And I think we maybe saw some of that clashing, and unfortunately it resulted in an assault.
Physical violence. It's totally uncalled for. I don't care what the circumstances led up to it, that kind of response is just absolutely unacceptable. And it's something that we talked about a couple of podcasts ago, you know, leading with anger with your whole life, and mm-hmm. that's just no way to go. Mm-hmm. Your actions are never going to be justified with that kind of a thing. So, you know, practice, try to lead with love. And like Mike and I were talking off air a little bit earlier, I hope if I happen to have an encounter on a trail or something like that where things happen, I hope I can, you know, respond a lot more gracefully than what that guy did, because that was that's just ridiculous.
I mean, even like a yelling match, you know, it's not enjoyable on the trail, even if you're a bystander and hear it, but violence is completely unacceptable, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And and perhaps it underscores this issue of dogs off the leash. I mean, there's a reason why this is the rule, right? Mm-hmm. And I think if everyone understood that, like, it's about respect, you know, and respecting people. For instance, if I see a dog off the leash, even if it is friendly, I get anxiety because I've seen enough dogs off the leash, and they come up to me or they fight my dog Diamond on the leash. And so no matter if it's a non-confrontation or a non-issue, the dog runs right by, my dog Diamond doesn't even notice it or something, I still get that anxiety of like, oh no, here comes a dog.
Yep. Right?
And I don't want to feel that anxiety on the trail. And so that person essentially is disrespecting my feelings, right? They're not thinking of me and if I care. They're thinking, my dog's nice, nothing will happen, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. We could yap on this forever, I guess.
Yeah, I think, you know, and we have brought this issue up before in the podcast, and who knows, I'm sure we'll probably have to bring it up again at some point, unfortunately. Yeah. But yeah, so if you're out there listening and you have some dogs, please just keep them on a leash when you're out for your run in your bike ride or whatever. Mm-hmm. It's just the right thing to do. It's a city ordinance. It's just what you're supposed to do. So it's part of living in a society.
Right.
Yeah. It's not an infringement on freedoms. It's the price that we pay for living in a society.
Right. And, you know, we're all people. We're all just trying to enjoy the trail. And, like, we're so lucky to live in Duluth where we have this, like, wonderful natural resource of trails. And I think so many people go out there just to escape, you know, and kind of be in their own world. And so, maybe just an opportunity to reflect on that and say, you know, why are we out here in the first place? It's to just, you know, and we have to put up with each other. Even if we're out here just for our own mental clarity and stuff, we have to still deal with each other and respect each other. And hopefully this issue with the lady being assaulted is resolved. And
yeah, Yeah. So if she's listening to the podcast, hey, we just want to let you know our thoughts are with you, or anybody who happens to know the lady too. You can pass that along, that we feel really bad for her, and hopefully she's recovering very well and is able to get back out on the trails and enjoy the trails, because like weather wise it's been a little hot lately, but right now it's just beautiful, and I think the rest of the week is supposed to be beautiful, so hopefully we can all get out and enjoy the trails here for the next few days.
Yeah, it's terrible. That's not right what happened. So do you have a coach's corner? Anything that popped into your mind, Tony?
No, not right now. If something happens, a lot of times when, like, I think I mentioned this quite a bit too, like I'm out on a run, I'll think of something and then I forget to write it down or something. But
story of my life.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I can kind of, this bleeds into the trails report a little bit, but I'll do a gear review, which all my gear reviews are just so corny. But my gear review is a hat.
Yes.
Because I've been, you know, on the trails, and whether it be running or hiking, the horse flies have been, or deer flies, whatever they are, you know, the buzzers that go around your head have been, they're getting bad.
Yeah.
And so to have a hat or head covering of some type works really well.
Yeah.
And maybe it's a little hotter, you know, to have a hat on, but it's worth it if you keep those out of your head space.
Do you wear it backwards?
I like flip-flop a lot.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flip-flop constantly.
I typically would wear it, or will wear it backwards. Keeps them off the kind of the back of your head and / neck area a little bit better. But yeah.
I have the one hat too with the flap on the back that covers your neck.
Nice.
But that's kind of a fashion faux pas when you're out there. Like, that's not exactly the look I want to go for all the time. But hat's nice too, especially in the heat, because you can dunk it in the creek. I don't know if there's a better feeling where you're just dead hot.
Yes.
You dump your hat in the creek and put it back on.
Yes.
Wonderful.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah, that is a great feeling when it's hot out, for sure.
So kind of the trails report being like, horse flies are out, and that's my gear review. Try the hat. If you never have, it's worth it.
Yep.
It's worth it all. Next, what I'm into. I'm into a Strava segments lately.
Mm-hmm.
And it all started, I just happened to notice that I was fourth place on a Strava segment, and off by maybe just 30 seconds. This was at the Crosby Manitou trailhead on the Superior Hiking Trail, up the brutal climb out of the Manitou River. Mm-hmm. So this is, I think a lot of people say, the hardest part of the Superior 100 course. You know, usually it's in the night and it's really hilly and just a brutal climb. And I thought, I could do that way faster, because even the fourth place, I walked the whole thing. Uh-huh. Like, I can maybe try and run some of this steep hill. And so I went out and I did it, and I got the segment, first place or whatever in the segment, and it was cool. And then I started like kind of looking at all the other segments, and it was fun to see what ones that I randomly had and didn't know, and what ones that I was close at, like second or third, and just kind of got my gears turning on trying to have the fastest time on some of these local segments, or just regional segments too, you know, like how many people have been on that section of Superior Hiking Trail running.
Yeah.
Like, I got the fastest one. Cool. You know? So it was kind of just that little competitive aspect that, you know, I think many have missed with racing, and, you know, and just kind of gets me out to these cool pieces of trail to just try and run really fast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was fun.
That's sweet. That's cool. That's cool. So we were talking a little bit about this, and my take on the, I'm actually not a huge Strava fan, and especially like the segments and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when I say that, I say this so with trepidation, because I try to keep some of my cynicism in check at times. Okay. But I'm going to offer just the other side of the coin.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what I think is cool about it, is that it satisfies that competitive urge. That's what I think is actually pretty cool about it.
Right.
Especially now when we have less opportunities to do that, fewer opportunities to do that, with far fewer races now. So it definitely offers that. And that aspect I get, the pure competitiveness. My cynical take is, there's a saying that I heard once, like, everybody wants to be king of the mountain, but since we can't all be king of the mountain, we instead just create a whole bunch of more mountains. And you know, these little mountains are actually tiny little hills. They're not even really significant mountains. And so I guess I could theoretically say, well, I'm probably the fastest bald guy named Tony who's 49 in the state of Minnesota.
Wow.
Think about that. That's pretty amazing.
Uh-huh. Or get a participation medal.
Or is it really all that amazing?
Yeah. Right,
you know, so that's where I'm coming from. Like, okay, so you have a segment com, or was that with the King of the Mountain kind of thing?
I forget what the exact wording is.
Yeah. But you know, if only two people have done it, where's the value in that? Or you know, that's kind of, I don't know. I'm looking at it from the other angle going, so?
Yeah.
That's kind of how I feel. But again, like I say, that's the cynical side of me, and I don't want to live in that space.
Right.
I want to be a little more accepting of the other reasons why people do it, because there are a lot of them, and I feel like my cynicism is a little bit these days in the minority. It seems like everybody's really into their Strava thing.
Yeah.
So I struggle with it a little bit, and when I'm feeling really negative, I'm like, what are these people doing? Mm-hmm. And then when you tell your story, I'm like, okay, cool. I totally respect that. That's awesome, you know, that kind of a thing. So anyway, that's sort of my take on the Strava thing. It's sort of a, and then I also boil it down to like, well, is it even necessary? Like, do you need, the point of training is to get faster, not to kind of win a Monday workout or something like that.
Or whatever. Or just I don't know. Keep sharing your workouts.
Yeah.
To the broad public social media.
Yeah, that's a whole other issue too. And that might just be my age where I'm just like, I don't care how many vertical feet of gain you got on your Tuesday 5 miler, you know, or whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Well, that's kind of the I think broad thing too, is no one cares about anything. You know, if you've ran, you know, 20,000 days in a row, does anyone really care? You know, it's kind of cool. Yeah. If you've won the Olympic gold medal in the marathon, does anyone even really
care?
Well,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Like, it can be a real kind of a deep philosophical conversation. That could be one of our topics or something like that. It really depends on your perspective and how you look at it. And like I say, I really want to keep my cynicism in check as best I can on this stuff, because I realize that's just not a great attitude to have.
Well, and I think in this time of no races, you know, that has been kind of the gold standard of competition, and it's forcing everyone to do totally different things. And for me, you know, I've struggled personally to find the motivation to try and run fast, and I just go jog just because I just think it's the right thing to do, and it is fun, and I enjoy it, obviously. But then to want to really push hard, you know, on like a 1 mile race effort or something, this struck me as more fun than going to the track. So I did it. I pushed as hard as I could, and then afterwards to see that result of like, I did it. I beat that time of like, you know, I think it was 15:59 was my mile time. It was about one mile.
Wow.
Like a serious uphill, like a 15-minute mile, essentially.
Yeah.
But I did it, you know. I was like, cool. Ah, it worked, you know. Like, it was worth the pain and agony. And I think that's the same. It's like a thread of the race world that I personally miss, you know.
Yeah.
So,
well, ultimately, it comes down to, like, there's a lot of different ways that people get motivated, and all of them are legitimate. And so again, like me trying to check my cynicism a little bit, I can totally respect whatever method you use for motivation. You know, if you're out there listening, you know, use it and use it to your advantage as a strength.
Exactly. So, I don't think I would run that hard under barely any other circumstances.
Right.
And after having done that, I don't think I'd do it for another Strive segment because it was really hard.
Yeah, that sounds like a really tough one, for sure.
I was sucking wind, that's all I can say. But it was in the middle of a 8 miler, too. Anyways, I'm into the Strava segments. It's kind of fun to explore those. And, you know, if you have the paid account, that's the other thing, too, is, like, to get their Strava segment features, you have to have the paid account. So.
Yeah, I never did that either.
Right. Yeah. But
one thing I'm into... is I'm really into the Ingebrigtsens lately. The Norwegian brothers, Henrik is the oldest who runs, and then Philip and Jacob in the U.S., but Jacob Ingebrigtsen, who's the youngest, and he's now becoming the fastest. they have a little reality TV show called Team Ingebrigtsen, and you can see some of those on YouTube. And so I've been watching that show, and it goes back probably about 3 or 4 years. I think they have like 3 or 4 seasons. And it's really been kind of fun to watch. And I've been really into the Ingebrigtsens. I mean, that Jakob kid is incredible. He ran a sub-4 mile at age 16. Youngest person to ever run a sub-4 mile. I don't think he's 20 yet. He's already ran 13:02 for the 5K.
Okay.
I mean, these guys are fast. They've all been European champions in different distances.
Yeah. You know,
three brothers. It's just kind of, it's a fascinating story, and they're kind of a fascinating family. And so I've been really big into the Ingebrigtsens lately.
Well, being that that's your heritage, I know you're big on Norwegian anything. So.
Yeah, I'm a big Norwegian guy. And so you combine Norwegian with running, you know, I'm all in.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Funny. Cool.
Yep.
Ingebrigtsen's on YouTube.
Yeah, Team Ingebrigtsen.
Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you have a couple shout-outs, too, there, Tony?
I do have a couple of shout-outs. One is to one of the ladies in my grandma's training group. Elizabeth Baltich just did her virtual marathon last weekend, and I want to shout out to Elizabeth. Congratulations to her for that. And I'm so impressed, especially we were talking with earlier, like a virtual marathon, to kind of go out and do a marathon, you know, more or less on your own. Sometimes you've got some people with you, and you might have some family out there. That's hard. That's really tough.
It's a long day.
Whether you get a Strava segment crown or not, I mean, that's
right.
That's really tough.
Yeah.
So big props to anybody who goes out and does a virtual marathon, especially solo. That's a hard thing to do. And so that's big shout out to anybody who does that, and especially to Elizabeth for doing that.
You know if Elizabeth like got her goal, or what was she?
I think she just really wanted to kind of get it done and have a good time. And
yeah.
I wasn't there, but I know like some of the pictures that I've seen, and everybody was all smiles, and that's what you want. So,
nice.
Yeah.
Fun.
And one more quick shout out to my buddy Bones, defending Grandma's Marathon champion, who's still stuck here in Duluth. I just feel bad for him.
Yeah.
He can't leave. Kenya won't take anybody in. Of course, nobody will take in Americans anymore because our COVID situation is so bad. So he's been here in Duluth since March. Was really hoping to have been home a couple of times by now, and still hoping to get back to Kenya as soon as he can. But I just feel bad for him that he's been here, and I know he's been making the best of it and doing a little bit of work, and just you know he's with a good family and they're having a good time. But you know, everybody would like to be home if you could. So I feel bad for Bones, and
so. Hopefully he can get back soon, or at least hopefully has communication with his family. You know,
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So shout out to Bones for hanging in there.
Yeah. Well, if anything, I think Bones can persevere. You know, if you're grandma's champion, elite level runner, and hopefully he can persevere.
He's tough.
It's not a sprint, it's a marathon.
That's right.
Yeah. Cool. I guess, what else do we got? Anything else to talk about today, Tony? Or should we get into our interview with Jess?
Yeah, I think that wraps up this portion. Let's talk to Jess.
All right.